Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer. Today, I'm joined by Sara Gon. But before we get into that, very quickly, a word from our sponsor, Hideco Energy. Hideco Energy says, are you tired of skyrocketing electricity bills and the new phenomenon of load reduction? Meet Hideco Energy, South Africa's trusted Tier 1 premium solar and backup power solutions supplier. With over 100 years of trading experience and the backing of a publicly listed company, Hideco Energy brings you the best quality international products to power your home or business reliably. From 3 kilowatt single-phase systems to 250 kilowatt three-phase solutions, we've got options for every need. And here's the best part. We offer unbeatable financing and rent-to-own packages designed to lower the barriers to saving money, cutting electricity costs, and ensuring power stability regardless of what's happening at Eskom. Right now, they're thrilled to offer Daily Friend listeners an exclusive promotion. Book a free business or household audit, and they'll show you how they put more money back in your pocket without hefty upfront costs. Reach out to them at sales@hideco.co.za or call them on 011-447-9864. Hideco Energy, sustainable power and storage solutions provider. All right, the first story we're going to talk about is a report that came out this week from the DG Murray Trust's Zero Dropout campaign, which looks at the quality of education, and they've been making some points about the education system. I think that we at the Institute of Race Relations have also made couple of times, and one of the main issues that they are highlighting is the low throughput rate of students through the system. So this is something we've talked about in the last week when talking about the matric results. Matric results are high, but there's much higher pass rate than previous years. But this is kind of slightly masking the bigger problem, which is that a lot of kids are just not actually getting to matric in the first place. So according to the trust report, the throughput rate, which is kids getting through to matric, dropped from 66% in 2023 to 63%, which they attribute at least in part to the phenomenon of what they call gatekeeping. That's something that's been highlighted by other people reporting on this. In order to boost a school's numbers, kids might be either encouraged to leave the school or kept back multiple years in order to try and make sure that they pass matric rather than going through and writing and failing. When they put out a survey asking students and families what the reasons for dropping out were, there was a variety of reasons. 14%, the most common reason was pregnancy, followed by failure to cope academically, which was just behind at 13%. Bullying was at 11%. Financial troubles at 9%. Drug abuse at 9%. And they believe that things like criminal behavior, drugs, and that sort of stuff is actually probably underreported in their survey. And Sara, this is, I think, kind of core of the problem here. And what's sort of terrifying about this is pregnancy and failing to cope academically should not really be reasons why we should be seeing students drop out of school, I don't think. And yet those seem to be the most common reasons. What should government be doing to try and solve this, apart from privatizing?
Well, there's always been a problem with the fact that there is still a stigma attached to teenage pregnancies, which of course is the most vile thing imaginable, because the people with the least power in the situation are the girls who are impregnated. So I think what really has to happen is that the government has to rethink an entire campaign about the fact that, a girl who's pregnant at the age of 16 or lower has been statutorily raped, but we would require more of our police services and in that regard. And it's also, campaign about girls' rights and not being essentially trafficked by desperately poor families. So those are some of the issues. That's on the one hand. On the failure to, of kids struggling. I mean, there was a report about an Eastern Cape primary school where kids cannot write their name by grade 3 and can't read for meaning by grade 8. So they do not get through high school. And that suggests that. And in that particular case, it was, as one suspected, lazy, what they refer to as lazy teachers or just teachers who are not teaching at all. So I think the reality is that the real problems, the major problems, if they are as cited, just require a huge overhaul in every respect. Issue with drugs, etc., more difficult because we know that those are the ills that society throws up. But in every respect, the government is failing on the first two.
No, I definitely agree. You know, just because you're pregnant doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to write your matric exams. And I think that, and the reason I say privatization would help is if parents were able to choose low-cost private schools, in this case, probably through a school voucher program, where government would provide the resources for them to go to low-cost private schools, you would be able to get more attention paid to individual students. You would have more leeway given for students to, you know, write an exam if they're pregnant, for example. And I've heard many stories of the sometimes the staff at schools actually being the main barrier to entry here, basically not allowing students or quarantining them off or being like very aggressive with pregnant students, basically trying to hide them, thinking that it's sort of embarrassing for the school. The drug problem, I think, is something, as you say, it's you know, it's just one of those issues that societies have, especially ones that have the problems that we have, poverty, family dysfunction, all those kind of things. But I do think that this is an issue that is perhaps not talked about as much as it should be in South Africa, and it's the very wide scale of drug abuse, particularly in very poor communities. Every poor community knows about the scale of Naiope abuse, for example, which runs rampant, and I suspect that that's probably the main driver between the drug abuse dropouts. All right, let's move on to our next story. So the EFF has laid a corruption charge against Public Works Minister Dean McPherson. I wasn't able to fully understand exactly what the EFF is alleging here. It seems that they're claiming that the minister, who is a DA member, interfered in tender affairs of the Independent Development Trust. The evidence provided for this was an email, which looks like it's a long chain. It's got like, you know, 10 people CC'd on it. I've seen these kind of things before in large organizations. It's usually an issue that's been bouncing around for a while that no one wants to take proper ownership of. I'll read the whole thing. This is addressed to the someone at the IDT as well as a company called Lone Rock. The minister writes, "Good day, Lynette. You will appreciate I don't normally get involved in matters like this, but it appears that commitments have not been executed and I am being dragged into this matter. Can I please receive an urgent report on why IDT has not done this and resolved this matter despite assurances it would be done? Regards, Dean McPherson, Minister." So this is floating around on social media as the evidence. Sara, it really seems like he's just saying they should be paid for work done, not being said that they must be given a contract or something illegal like that. This kind of seems silly. Am I just missing something?
Well, I think it's essentially, it's like the CEO ordering the financial manager to fix a problem that keeps recurring. It's not unusual. It's just embarrassing, partly because I understand that IDT does this quite a lot. It doesn't manage a lot of these contracts terribly well. But for me, more ominous is the fact that the EFF hasn't kind of seen it this way, that it's a storm in a teacup, which suggests that the quality of what's left of the EFF is diminishing. And presumably the EFF is just, you know, it's part of its slide into irrelevance because, you know, just a quick look at that letter. I mean, the tone of it we've all seen before. I think it could be a great embarrassment to the EFF in the long run. And
The subject line is Vorderkloof Air Force Base Contractors Demand for Payment and Return of the Performance Guarantee.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do what you promise and we'll pay you.
Okay. Last story. And this is actually quite a sweet story. A mother who lives in Pretoria, who I think is her youngest child, a child named Tabang, was looking to be placed in schools. She applied to a number of schools to have him placed, government schools, and he didn't get placed in any of them. She then put in the name of another school, and he was eventually placed there. It was quite close. It seemed like it was all right. But then it became apparent that there was an issue. This is from reporting by the Daily Maverick. Apparently the school was an entirely Afrikaans medium school, and the issue here is that neither she nor the father of the young boy speaks Afrikaans at all. She says she speaks Venda. His father is Sotho. He understands a little bit of Sotho, but when it comes to his Tshivenda, he can't understand a single word. And he basically only speaks English. So she was very worried that this was, you know, going to basically ruin her child's education, at least until they could get him moved. And she put up a TikTok video basically complaining about this, saying he's enrolled in an Afrikaans school, not an Afrikaans school to say that they can teach in English. No, they teach all subjects in Afrikaans except English itself. The child only speaks English. It's Monday. There's nowhere else the department has placed us except the school. So I'm seated here with a problem that I don't know how it's going to be resolved. You know, kind of the usual social media post anyone might make in a situation like that. Well, it kind of went a bit viral. There was the usual sort of suspects of people saying, oh, you see, this is why we must abolish Afrikaans schools, or people getting angry at the department saying the child should never have been placed in a school that he wasn't able to learn at. But a lot of Afrikaans-speaking South Africans came forward to offer support. One commenter reported in the story here saying, "Mommy, you've got this. Many Afrikaners are following you, and you have our full support. Sterkte." When she attended a parents' evening, she live-streamed it to TikTok, and Afrikaans speakers in the comments would translate what was being said at the meeting for her benefit. The Department of Education, seeing this go viral, offered to basically help move the kid to another school, but she said that she thinks actually this would be better, or that she's going to try and embrace it. She said, yes, we're not happy, but we're trying to be strong as a family, trying to embrace the diversity within South African schools, and all languages are unique. I'm so grateful to the Afrikaans community and all unique South Africans who are vying to help us. Some of them have already started to say they want to send textbooks that their children use. Some of them have already sent links where I should buy the ebooks I should use. We've got several tutors. Everyone is helping. I have enrolled myself for Afrikaans lessons, and it's going well. I can hear some words because I did Afrikaans a little bit. I was in primary school. I just cannot help our child with his homework. I need to learn to be on this journey with him. I don't want to go through this alone, depending mostly on tutors and aftercare for homework assistance." So, interesting and little story. Basically, the wheels of bureaucracy were going to make life difficult for this family, and it looks like ordinary South Africans stepped up to help solve the problem. What do you make of this story, Sarah?
I actually think it's a very sweet story, because on the one hand, it highlights a lot of the problems in facing parents putting their children into education in this country. But the fact that she has received the support and she's decided to essentially take up the offers of assistance, I think will ultimately actually probably serve very well, in that he's young, so he'll probably grasp the language fairly quickly, particularly if people do provide some of the support they've offered, and there's no reason to think that they won't. In the long run, he'll probably get a very fine education. And certainly for primary school, you know, as often people do, is they go to an English medium school for high school. But it may be the answer, and it reflects well on the kindness, I think, of South Africans, and makes up for a lot of the gaps in the formal state system.
Oh, exactly, well said. And I do feel like maybe there might be an aspect to this about the placement system itself. There's complaints every single year about problems with the placement system. Sometimes I think there's just lack of capacity for people to be placed in schools they want to go to. But I think there's other issues as well. Maybe the process should be more simplified, easier for people to do. I think there's a mistake like this doesn't seem like it should happen basically ever. You know, it's one thing sending your kid to an Afrikaans medium school because you think it's a better school and saying, well, you know, it's fine, we'll just learn the language. It's another thing to accidentally do that. Which I think, department officials should have a way, or the system should have a way of kind of preventing that sort of thing. But anyway, as you said, very sweet story. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting. If you do enjoy us, please leave us positive reviews. Please give us likes. Please give us subscribes. All those things that everyone is supposed to do in the modern media age. We will see you tomorrow. Cheers, everyone. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.